Now to the unprecedented demands on nursing staff that's having a huge impact on mental well-being. According to the American Psychiatric Nurses Association, nurses make up a bulk of the healthcare workforce, and they're experiencing pressure, fear, exhaustion, isolation, and ongoing emotional trauma. Are you a nurse or on the healthcare team? Do you work in the COVID unit? How is your mental health? How is quality of life on the job? 800-642-1234 to join in. Heather Shimmers is Chief Nursing Officer for Ascension, Wisconsin, where she leads more than 6,000 nursing professionals at 24 hospitals, over 100 clinics. Heather, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning, Kate. Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning. Last time we talked with you, it was the holiday season. Your patient census was incredibly high. You had very limited, tight capacity in your ICU. Can you give us a snapshot of how things are going inside your hospitals now?
I'm sure I'd be happy to. You're right. The atmosphere has definitely changed since the last time I was able to speak with you all. We were in the midst of a horrible surge at that time. And I will tell you, with our declining numbers in Wisconsin, we are also seeing declining hospital admissions. So that is good news. They are still there. However, our ICUs continue to be busy. But what we're seeing now is an increase in acuity of patients who perhaps have foregone some of the care that they needed to during the COVID just because of some fear.
Yeah. So you're certainly seeing that as well. But how has the decline in hospitalizations, has it reduced the strain on your healthcare facilities, on your staffing, and how you go about this?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I will tell you that it hasn't, because it hasn't really stopped. So we're still in the pandemic. We're still living with this. Volumes remain fairly consistent. So our nurses really haven't been able to take a break. And I think I used the analogy last time I was here about calling our nurses superheroes. And, you know, to me, a superhero gets to go home and take their costume off and take their cape, hang their cape up every once in a while. And Our nurses haven't had that opportunity yet. They, you know, healthcare is a 24/7 business. We haven't been able to really stop and just take a breath yet.
How are you giving them breaks? How are you working to address the stress, the burnout?
Yeah, so if it's okay with you, Kate, I'd love to just share a few stats with you.
Please.
About nursing and kind of where we're at, just to kind of set the tone. So as we move forward, you'll understand why we're doing what we're doing. So from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, we know that we are going to experience a shortfall of nearly 510,000 RNs by the year 2030. And 2030, sometimes when I say that, seems like that's a really far way out in the future, but it's not. But we also know with that same stat that we have a growing demand for nurses, and we're going to need an additional 200,000 RNs a year to keep up with current demands. I also can tell you that 21% of all nurses have indicated that they would like to transfer to a non-patient care role at the end of this pandemic.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. 10% of nurses are reporting that they want to leave the profession altogether. And right now for us, as we're continuing to need to fill positions, it's taking about 91 days to fill an open ICU position and 76 days to fill a med-surg position. That is a really long time to get those positions filled. So the throughput of nurses coming into our system just has drastically declined. And this is probably the most staggering statistic that I want to share with you, is that RN burnout has grown absolutely as a result of the pandemic. And when we talk to nurses and we ask them if they're personally experiencing burnout, 94% of them are saying yes.
So when you look at these national statistics, you look at what's happening in your hospitals, and you know your nursing staff is burning out, they want to transfer, they want to do something different. How do you approach that administratively? How do you make this work?
Yeah, I'm excited to share some of the things we're doing. So I think those of us that are clinical leaders, we just need to continue to work together to really understand the impact of our changing practice environments and really look at the engagement and the morale of our nurses and how we can continue to improve. So as we do that, I'll tell you, this vision led to the implementation of what we're calling the Ascension Nursing Center of Excellence. It's a new model for providing clinically excellent, safe, compassionate, personalized care, and it's really designed to satisfy the needs of our nursing workforce while we just continue to respond and proactively prepare as the changing trends and expectations in healthcare continue to emerge. Which I just realized that not only do we need to transform the care for those that we're privileged to serve, we need to continually look at that quadruple aim around health outcomes and patient experience and provider experience, and then figure out how to do it at a very low cost. But we also, I think the most important thing that I'm realizing and all nursing leaders across the country are realizing is that we have to transform to meet the needs and expectations of our nurses and other caregivers. So I think as I say that to you, what we know is that I need to mitigate burnout and return joy to this nursing practice. And I think the best way to do that is to cultivate really a culture of clinical innovation, professional respect, team engagement and collaboration, make sure that our individuals are flourishing in their workplace community. So I think it's really working on making sure that our nurses on the front line have a voice in the work that they are actively being asked to deliver, anything that impacts their work. We're just continually working at developing new and innovative ways to ensure that happens. So there's lots of projects going on around that.
Yeah, but you know, how do you make that happen on the floor, return joy on the floor, when you have said, you know, COVID is a minute by minute disease? It is, you know, just this chess game to ensure you have the beds available, that it's very individualized. There's not a defined care plan because COVID affects people in all these different ways. How do you mitigate that, but also make the job less stressful for nurses?
Yeah, I'm not sure that there's any way to fully take the stress away. But I'll tell you a few of the tactical things that we've done to really help. And the way I like to describe some of the things we're doing is that we certainly are not asking any nursing professional to get rid of the burden that they're carrying on their shoulders through this COVID pandemic, but just to help them carry it a little bit more lightly. So one of the things that we're in the process of doing right now is partnering with our spiritual services teams, our mission leaders, our employee assistance professionals. And we're really offering what we're doing as a take on narrative medicine. And it's an opportunity for just our frontline nurses. So right now I have two groups running throughout Ascension, Wisconsin, and it's bringing like-minded nurses together to watch a video. It was a video shared by the New York Times, and it was filmed in a COVID unit. I'm not sure if you had the opportunity to see that, but it really does a beautiful job of capturing the emotions of the nurses that were caring for these patients during the height of a surge. So as the nurses watch this, we ask them to really watch it in a quiet space, take some time, write down your thoughts, and then we give them an opportunity to really share their feelings about the video together with other individuals that have experienced the same thing they have. Our goal is really just to give them a very safe place to share their story and realize that they're not alone in this journey. Again, I think it's an attempt to decrease the stigma in our profession and to forget that, we just need to make sure that we're taking care of our caregivers' mental health.
Chief Nursing Officer at Ascension Wisconsin, Heather Shimmers, explaining the trauma, the stress of nursing through the pandemic. Are you in charge of a hospital or clinic? What do you do to ensure your staff are okay? What have you put in place? How do you monitor burnout and fatigue? Is a loved one on the front lines of healthcare? What have they told you about work stress and how they're coping? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Heather Shimmers here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Nurses are feeling the effects on their health, morale, their careers. We're learning what can be done to help nurses heal and recover from the pandemic. It's leaving many nurses stressed, burned out, even traumatized, according to recent polling and the research we've been talking about. Are you a nurse? What can you say about what you've been through? Help us understand. 800-642-1234. Heather Shimmers is Chief Nursing Officer at Ascension Wisconsin and stays with us for about 10 more minutes. Heather, how are you approaching at this point testing and screening your nursing staff for COVID?
So we're doing, you know, following the CDC and the Department of Health and Human Services guidance around that definitely has improved. I will tell you that our numbers of infected workforce are declining by the day, which is wonderful news. So we're continuing, you know, if there's symptomatic situations, we're continuing to follow the guidelines and make sure that we're keeping all individuals safe. We are still masking in all of our healthcare facilities, and we're screening every single associate and visitor that comes into our buildings.
Do you still have a lot of nursing staff out due to COVID?
I would tell you we're ranging, not a lot. We're ranging right now across Ascension, Wisconsin, with all of our associates between about 25 and 30 every day.
Let's bring in a call now. Amy is joining us in Beloit. Amy is an occupational therapist. Hi.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm an occupational therapist. I'm the occupational therapist for a home health department here in Beloit. And I just wanted, I just had a comment that, you know, when that these patients who have COVID illness go home. And a lot of times they are still incredibly ill, and we've had to go in and see them in their homes. And a lot of times some of those homes still have family members with active COVID infections. And it was a really terrifying experience at first, because we didn't know, there really aren't any clear protocols for how to enter a home with people who may or may not be masking or who don't have good, you know, awareness of how to control the infection. And so our team, after we got over the initial shock, it was just kind of a matter of really turning to your team members when you had those opportunities to say, you know, this is insane. This is ridiculous. And so we kind of kept things like running jokes on the whiteboards and things that, just to let off a little bit of steam, because it was really an intense, situation that is still ongoing. And I guess one of my questions, is, you know, I keep hearing about the hospital at home movement, and I wonder if your guest has any comments on that, because I know part of that Triple Aim project is to basically decrease patients in beds in hospitals.
In care patients. Yeah, Amy, thank you so much for bringing your perspective and story. Heather, what do you see there?
Well, first of all, Amy, thank you so much. What a great question. And thank you also for everything you've done. I can only imagine some of the experiences that you've been through during all of this with caring for patients at home. And I think, kind of as I mentioned before, when you think about the acuity and the level of the illness that our inpatient associates have experienced, think about how we're sending patients home. So Amy, I would guess that what you're seeing is a population of individuals who are far more ill than you've ever experienced before in your home health journey as a healthcare professional. So I will tell you, you are 100% right. Our landscape on where and how we're going to provide care has completely changed. And this momentum towards delivering care at home is a key strategy for us at Ascension, figuring out how to really transfer that workforce. With that being said, though, I think that's also a really exciting opportunity for our clinical workforce to experience care in different settings, which you heard me say one of those statistics is that they don't, you know, nurses are tired of the patient care roles at the bedside in the hospital setting. I think this is going to give us an opportunity to really develop a more flexible workforce and offer them opportunities to work outside of the hospital.
Amy, thanks so much. Alexander is with us from Appleton. Hi, Alexander. What is your story in nursing?
Hi, good morning. I was a former bedside nurse in cardiology and telemetry, and now I transitioned prior to the pandemic into data analytics and following our remote patient monitoring programs like Amy had just referenced. And I was experiencing large amounts of burnout prior to the pandemic, and working in various travel nursing roles throughout the country, I've noticed that the amount of staffing and the compensation that nurses are given are constantly drives down the amount of burnout. I had the opportunity to serve as a resource nurse, just helping out other nurses around the unit. And it's just a very rewarding role. And one of our things that my current hospital is looking into is reallocating funds so that we can compensate our nurses and offer more competitive rates and benefit packages in order to safely staff our team. I was feeling completely compassion fatigued, but loved my job. And there's nothing worse than putting in all of your compassion and knowing that you don't have enough time to get everything done. Mm. So I just wonder if there's anything in Wisconsin that's being done to kind of drive nurses here and make it a better experience compared to other health systems.
Heather, go ahead.
So Tyler, thank you. And thank you for everything you do. I too am from Appleton. So I understand where you're working and what you're doing. So thank you for what you're doing. You are 100% correct in the fact that our economic landscape has changed, hasn't it? When you think about not only just the nursing profession, but think about those clinical support roles that are supporting nursing. You know, we're now competing with CNAs that can go out of the healthcare system and take a position at a Quick Trip or Costco and make equally, if not more money than what we've been able to offer for CNA so far. So we are 100% absolutely continually evaluating, you know, pay and the structure of pay for our clinical individuals in Wisconsin. The other thing I will tell you is it's more than that. And I love to hear you mention that you're a resource nurse. That's an innovative approach to staffing. And that's what we need to continue to do is figure out different ways. Really, when you think about nursing as a practice, we haven't really changed our model of care in about 20 years, right? We just haven't. So the more, Tyler, positions like the one you're serving in as a resource nurse, that we can continue to provide those opportunities to take some of that burden off of the frontline nurse to really be able to offer them time with their patients to provide the care and the hands-on care that they want to provide, that's what we need to just keep improving on. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you so much.
Heather, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I always enjoy being here.
Heather Shimmers is Chief Nursing Officer for Ascension Wisconsin. Just ahead, we talk with Pride event organizers in Wisconsin about this year's events. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.